Hare Krishna. This morning we were reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, 19th to 25th chapter of Madhya Lila, and I had some devotees read from teachings of Lord Chaitanya, very beautiful description of the beauty of Krishna. Extraordinary, and one that even before I joined when reading Prabhupada's books, I read how it was so beautiful, had such wonderful literary composition, poetic, and of course the content itself was extraordinary. It starts like this, it goes like this. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan because he conquers the mind of Cupid. He is also known as Madan Mohan due to his accepting the devotional service of the damsels of Braj and rendering favors unto them. After conquering Cupid's pride, the Lord engages in the rasa dance as the new Cupid. He is also known as Madan Mohan because of his ability to conquer the minds of women with his five arrows called form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. The pearls of the necklace which hangs about the neck of Krishna are as white as ducks, and the peacock feather which decorates his head is colored like a rainbow. His yellow garment is like lightning in the sky, and Krishna himself is like the newly arrived clouds. The gopis are like footbells on his feet, and when the cloud pours rain on the grains in the field, it appears that Krishna is nourishing the hearts of the gopis by calling down his pastime rain of mercy. Indeed, ducks fly in the sky during the rainy season, and rainbows can also be seen at that time. Krishna freely moves amongst his friends as the cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and when he plays his flute, all living creatures, mobile and immobile, become overwhelmed with ecstasy. They quiver, and tears flow from their eyes. Of Krishna's various opulences, his conjugal love is the summit. He's the master of all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. And out of these, his perfect beauty is his conjugal attraction. The form of Krishna, the conjugal beauty, is eternally existent in Krishna alone, whereas his other opulences are present in his Narayan form. When Lord Chaitanya described the super excellence of Krishna's conjugal attraction, he felt transcendental ecstasy, and catching the hands of Sanatana Goswami, he began to proclaim how fortunate the damsels of Braja were, reciting a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Gopastam kim macharat kim anusharupam lavanyasharam asamodhravamananyasidham drikbir pibanti anushava binava durapam ekantadama yashasha shriya aishvarasya. What great penance and austerities the damsels of Vrindavan must have undergone, for they are able to drink the nectar of Krishna, who is all beauty, all strength, all riches, all fame, and whose bodily luster is the center of all beauty. The body of Krishna, the ocean of the eternal beauty of youth, can be seen to move in waves of beauty. There's a whirlwind at the sound of his flute, and those waves in that whirlwind make the hearts of the gopis flutter like dry leaves on trees. And when those leaves fall down at Krishna's lotus feet, they can never rise up again. There's no beauty to compare with Krishna's, for no one possesses beauty greater than or equal to his. Since he is the origin of all incarnations, including the form of Narayan, the goddess of fortune, who is a constant companion of Narayan, gives up Narayan's association and engages herself in penance in order to gain the association of Krishna. Such is the greatness of the super excellent beauty of Krishna, the everlasting mine of all beauty. It is from that beauty that all beautiful things emanate. The attitude of the gopis is like a mirror upon which the reflection of Krishna's beauty develops at every moment. Both Krishna and the gopis increase their transcendental beauty at every moment, and there's always transcendental competition between them. No one can appreciate the beauty of Krishna by properly discharging his occupational duty or by austerities, mystic yoga, cultivation of knowledge, or by prayers. Only those who are on the transcendental platform of love of God, who out of love engage in devotional service, can appreciate the transcendental beauty of Krishna. Such beauty is the essence of all opulences and is only appreciated in Goloka Vrindavan and nowhere else. In the form of Narayan, the beauties of mercy, fame, etc. are all established by Krishna, but Krishna's gentleness and magnanimity do not exist in Narayan. They are found only in Krishna. Lord Chaitanya greatly relished all the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which he was explaining to Sanatan, quoted another verse. Yasyanam makara kundala charukarna brajat kapola shubhagam shubilashaha sham nityotsanam natat tripur drishibir pibantyo naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha. The gopis used to relish the beauty of Krishna as a ceremony of perpetual enjoyment. They enjoyed the beautiful face of Krishna, his beautiful ears with earrings, his broad forehead and his smile, and when enjoying the sight of Krishna's beauty, they used to criticize the creator Brahma for causing their vision of Krishna to be momentarily impeded by the blinking of their eyelids. That's the translation. The Vedic hymn known as Kama Gayatri describes the face of Krishna as the king of all moons. In metaphorical language, there are many different moons, but they are all one in Krishna. There is the moon of his mouth, the moon of his cheeks, the moon spots of sandalwood pulp on his body, the moons of the fingertips of his hands, and the moons of the tips of his toes. In this way, there are 24.5 moons, and Krishna is the central figure of all of them. The dancing movement of Krishna's earrings, eyes, and eyebrows is very attractive to the damsels of Braj. Activities in devotional service increase the sense of devotional service. What else is there for two eyes to see beyond the face of Krishna? Since one cannot adequately see Krishna with only two eyes, one feels incapable and thus becomes bereaved. Such bereavement is slightly reduced when one criticizes the creative power of the Creator. The unsatiated seer of Krishna's face nonetheless laments, I do not have thousands of eyes, but only two, and these are disturbed by the movements of my eyelids. Therefore, it is to be understood that the Creator of this body is not very intelligent. He is not conversant in the art of ecstasy, but is simply a prosaic creator. He does not know how to arrange things properly so that one can only see Krishna. The gopis' minds are always engaged in relishing the sweetness of Krishna's body. He is the ocean of beauty, and his beautiful face and smile and the luster of his body are all attractive to the minds of the gopis. In Krishna Karnamrita, his face, smile, and bodily luster have been described as sweet, sweeter, and sweetest. A perfect devotee of Krishna is overwhelmed by seeing the beauty of Krishna's bodily luster, his face and smile, and he bathes in the ocean of transcendental convulsions. Before Krishna's beauty, these convulsions often continue without treatment, just as ordinary convulsions which a physician will allow to continue, not even allowing a drink of water for relief. The devotee increasingly feels the absence of Krishna, for without him, one cannot drink the nectar of his beauty. When the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute is heard, the devotee's anxiety to continue to hear that flute enables him to penetrate the covering of the material world and enter into the spiritual sky where the transcendental sound of the flute enters into the ears of the followers of the gopis. The sound of Krishna's flute always resides within the ears of the gopis and increases their ecstasy. When it is heard, no other sound can enter into their ears. And amongst their family, they are not able to reply to questions properly, for all these beautiful sounds are vibrating in their ears. Thus, Lord Chaitanya explained the transcendental constitution of Krishna, his expansions, his bodily luster, and everything connected with him. In short, Lord Chaitanya explained Krishna as he is, as well as the process by which one can approach him. In this regard, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that devotional service to Krishna is the only process by which he can be approached. This is the verdict of the Vedic literatures, As the sages declare, if someone inquires into Vedic literature to determine the process of transcendental realization, or if someone consults the Puranas, which are considered sister literatures, one will find that in all of them, the conclusion is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the only object of worship. Hare Krishna. That was Srila Prabhupada glorifying Krishna.